Hey, it's Emily again, sorry to disturb. I just wanted to let you know about the iPhotography Luminar course. If you don't know, Luminar is an affordable, beginner-friendly photo editing software. And I've made a course that takes you through every slider and dial from beginning to end. If you want to level up your photo editing skills on a little bit of a budget, then check this course out. I had so much fun making it and I think it would really, really help. For more information, go to iphotography.com/podcast.
Welcome along to the next episode of the iPhotography Podcast. It is...
Rebecca.
Hooray! You should have seen the outtakes for that one. And it's Stephen. And today we're still on the photography topic, but we're looking at movies.
Movies.
Are you a film fan in general?
No, I'm not. No. I'm not a massive film fan now because, in honesty, I fall asleep.
They're too long?
They're too long. I really struggle to pay attention. Give me a crossword any day or a Sudoku.
She may look like she's in her 20s, but actually acts as if she's in her 60s. It's like Benjamin Button, isn't it, really?
Young in body, old in mind. That's me.
Oh, nothing wrong with that. But yeah, anyway, this is... five great photography films, and there isn't many films that are about photography as a central subject. I think there's probably more than five anyway, but at least the ones that we kind of got listed down to kind of chat about very, very much have kind of photography at kind of the core of the narrative really here. I mean, if I scroll down and look at the titles, looking ahead, have you heard of any of them? Have you seen of any of them?
Not seen any of them.
Wow, this is going to be a great podcast. Maybe I should have given you these in advance to actually kind of as a bit of homework.
Yeah, you should have set this as homework for me.
I've seen four of them.
Okay.
So there is one that I've not seen before. But I think there's definitely one that you'll really, really enjoy anyway, given the photographers that I know that you like. But a lot of these... you'll find kind of online. Some of them may still be on Netflix. I know one or two of them are. You may have to find them on Prime. Otherwise, there may just be a trip to, I say the DVD store.
But I don't think that's a thing anymore.
Is it not?
No, I just stream it.
That's just... Don't tell them to go to the black market and stream these things.
I meant on Prime, obviously.
All right, yeah. Well, no, that's fine. That's legal and such. I thought you were being like looking for some sort of torrent download, but we've gone into somewhere that we don't really want to step into. But anyway, I mean, despite the popularity of photography, you know, as a hobby and a profession, that, you know, it isn't depicted that much upon the silver screen. You know, we see loads of films about sports and families and jobs and business and whatnot. Why is there not enough about photography?
It's quite geeky, I think. It is quite nerdy.
There isn't much about many arts. If you think about maybe like painting, you know, there's not many kind of films about painting. Is it just because it's hard to kind of depict on film, or it's not exciting like race cars or
maybe
dancing?
It's because you're using photography equipment to film it that it's then becomes like photographyception.
Oh, so
it's
like wow.
A camera. And people just get too...
It's just too...
Cope.
Well, maybe, yeah. I think that's probably a good point, potentially, there. I think there's something in there, definitely. But, I mean, these are some that, you know, that stand out quite a lot. As we said, we can't say we've seen them all. I've seen four out of the five of them anyway, but one of them is kind of very, very popular. I think, you know, you may have definitely heard of anyway that I've not seen. But the other ones, I think you'd really like. I think especially the first one that we're going to come to, you really, really like. Because this is a film from 2010 called The Bang Bang Club. And it's something I stumbled on Netflix a couple of weeks ago. So I think, you know, if it's what now? It's November. Oh, yeah, the dog agrees with us. So yeah, in November 2021, I think I maybe watched this a couple of weeks ago. So middle of October 2021, it was on Netflix. So if you have a look for that, we'll let the dog have his say. So we've got with us today, this is George.
Naughty George.
So George will be giving his rating of these films through his barks. Lots of barks means it's good, no barks means it's rubbish. Is that right? Oh, bless. He's being quiet. But anyway, yeah, The Bang Bang Club, this is from 2010. So basically, it's a film adaptation of the book with the same name, or The Bang Bang Club, snapshots from a hidden war. So it's written, or co-written, I should say, specifically, by Greg Marinovich and Zhao Silva. Do you know who Zhao Silva is?
Can't say I do.
He's a very, 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 very good friend. I'll say was a very good friend of one of your favourite photographers who you wrote your dissertation about.
Tom Hunter.
No, you told me a different person you wrote your dissertation about. You told me it was Kevin Carter.
Oh, yeah, I have written a piece. It wasn't my dissertation, but I have written a piece.
All right, you've written about him there.
I'll let you off.
But yeah, basically this story centralises around Greg Marinovich. I'm not sure how I pronounce that. Marinovich, yeah. Zhao Silva, Kevin Carter, and another guy called Ken Oosterbrook. And I think basically the story is kind of it's focused around these four guys. And the four photographers who were South African. Yeah, dog agrees with us.
Yeah.
And they were working and photographing during the time of apartheid down in South Africa. So they were all kind of documentary photographers. They were working for a newspaper in South Africa. I've forgotten the name of it. It's like the Herald or the Star or something like that. And basically they were going out and they were kind of passing, you know, each other, and they start to work in pairs, and they effectively start to kind of then go out in groups of four because it was a bit more safer for them. And they were all going to the same places anyway, photographing these demonstrations and these riots and these fights between all the different factions that were there at the time. And the kind of bravery to basically go out and take these photographs started to get them noticed. I mean, specifically Greg Marinovich, who's played by... Ah, what's his name? Have you seen Cruel Intentions? Ryan Philippe.
Okay.
Right, okay, have you recognised
Noah's face? I do, I've never seen Cruel Intentions.
Right, so yeah. It's basically the guy from there, so he plays Greg Marinovich. And basically, yeah, they go out and they take these most insane photographs that start getting them noticed all over the world. And because they're always going out in this kind of group of four, they start to get this name, this kind of moniker of the Bang Bang Club, which they didn't necessarily kind of care about really. But people were writing stories about them, and it was basically about how the work that they did, the photographs that they took, how it started to kind of bond them as a group. It obviously told the story of what was going on in South Africa at the time, but also how it affected them kind of over time. Because you know a little bit about the backstory of Kevin Carter and his iconic image of the what was it called again?
It's the vulture.
The vulture and the child, yeah, or the vulture and the girl, yeah. But that is documented in this film as well, basically about how Kevin Carter, I mean, it goes on about all of them, but specifically Kevin Carter gets quite affected by what goes on in South Africa. He's just shooting these war demonstrations and these riots, and he needs to kind of get away from it all. I think drugs and drink start affecting him as well. And basically he goes on the secondment to, where was it taken? Is it like Ethiopia or Somalia or Sudan? Somewhere like that. I think there's some of those famine going on. And it basically kind of shows him. And the guy that plays Kevin Carter, I can't think of his name now. I've seen him in a few different films before. He plays... it's not going to come to me. Sorry. This is going to be great entertainment on the podcast.
Come back in 3 weeks.
I'll have to like IMDb it or whatever they call it these days. IMDb, right. Bear with me. IMDb, because yeah, if you want to know kind of who these people are, I think it's kind of worthwhile. And it's not to say that we don't research our things previously. But yeah, Bang Bang Club. Basically kind of he goes out to Sudan to take this kind of portrait, which kind of gets him all this kind of fame and notoriety, but as you know, kind of it doesn't end well for Kevin Carter, does he? So I've forgotten the name. Taylor Kitsch, that's him, Taylor Kitsch. So he's been in like kind of quite a few different films before. I think that's the right guy. Yeah. So he's been like Wolverine, John Carter, that was the what I was thinking of.
Okay.
Yeah, so yeah, he was been in there. I've not necessarily seen it, but yeah, it's quite a moving story. It really, really is. It's kind of quite emotionally driven. I'll put the trailer on for you. You can watch the trailer in the meantime. I know we can't show this on the podcast necessarily, but just something for you to kind of watch in the meantime to understand it all. It's just something that kind of I put on as like background kind of TV for a little while, but it kind of really caught my attention. I think definitely if you're into photography and you want to understand and appreciate what some photographers go through to kind of get the images that they do, because even though this was about apartheid and apartheid is over in South Africa, there's still loads of people that are going out there with a camera as war photographers. Would you ever consider such a life, such a war?
I think I'm probably too attached to things, and I'd end up staying there and dedicating my whole life to it.
Yeah.
It would have to be a full 100% move for me, because I think I'd want to help everyone. I'm too nice.
It is. And you know, the story of them is that these guys, they were just, they came across as being completely kind of carefree in the sense that they would put themselves in harm's way to get the image, the story of what they're trying to depict, you know, the riots, etc. They would literally put themselves in the middle of it whilst gunfire and everything is going off. And a couple of them got shot. I think Marinovich got shot. I think, you know, without spoiling the story too much, we should say, spoiler alert, if anybody goes to watch this, a couple of the guys die. Obviously, kind of, as we know, Kevin Carter, he commits suicide. And I think it's the same. No, he doesn't commit suicide, but I think it is Kent Oosterbrook actually dies. He gets shot. And this is in real life as well, obviously. There's a depiction of these real photographers. I think the actual club kind of obviously, you know, breaks up and disbands. Two of them actually died, and I think Marinovich and Zhao Silva, I think they're still alive today, still working, and I think they may still be working in South Africa. It's absolutely an amazing film to watch. So if you get to look out for the Bang Bang Club, I think it's like 2010, 2011, and it may still be on Netflix at the moment, say like November, October, 2021. Kind of keep an eye out for it. Should we move on to another film?
Yeah, definitely.
Let's go for it. So the next one that we've got on our list is Kodachrome. So this is like a small indie film that I've seen. I've seen it a couple of times over, and it's got, again, I'm going to have to bring up IMDb for you here as well, so I can actually tell you the name of people. I want to say his name is, it's like Kevin or, no, it won't be Kevin. I'm trying to think of the actor's name because you'll recognize him. That's it, Jason Sudeikis. Sudeikis? Do you recognize his face?
I recognize his name.
You recognise his name. He's been in, I can't think of what he's been in now. But effectively, the synopsis for it is that the guy who plays Sudeikis is called Matt Ryder. He's basically a, what do they call him? An A&R man at like a record company. So he goes around like looking for bands, etc., etc. And he's done kind of quite well and over his years, but he's starting to kind of be less kind of effective. He's not really kind of signing any bands, and his company is like, you know, you're on the edge of your job, blah blah blah. And then he gets told that his dad is dying, and he's not seen his dad for like absolute yonks. He's totally estranged from him. So there's kind of a lady who's his carer kind of comes into his life and says, like, you know, look after your dad, and he wants to meet up with you. He wants to go on a road trip. His dad's this very, very kind of famous photographer, kind of fictionally speaking. He doesn't actually play anybody real. And basically, he's always like, he's quite old school. He's always kind of shot on film, and he's basically got these last kind of set of Kodachrome films. And the story goes is that there's only one place in America in the entire world that is processing Kodachrome, and they're going to stop it like in 2 weeks' time. So they've got this kind of 2 week road trip to go together to get to this processing lab, which is like in the middle of nowhere. So it's all like a bit of a kind of a father-son relationship journey, etc., etc., for him to go and kind of get these images processed, etc. Again, spoiler alert, the dad dies literally right within the last kind of couple of minutes of the film. And you can kind of see somewhat of it coming, because it's all about a rekindling of the relationship. That there's like one kind of little specific set of roles of film that he's been going on about. He's like, this is my greatest work ever. This is my best work ever, that, you know, best pictures I've ever taken. And lo and behold, what do you think they end up being of?
Him.
They end up being of his son when he's younger. It's kind of given that kind of heartwarming feeling with him looking back. It's like, oh, dad did care a little bit.
Did it make you cry?
It was a bit of a teary moment, but you kind of could see it coming a little bit. Not to say that it's not worth watching, and obviously if you don't mind spoilers and you'll watch past that, then do watch it anyway, because it's kind of quite a heartwarming film anyhow. Kind of the idea of like taking images, etc., capturing moments and memories, which it's all about, is very much at the heart of it. So yeah, that's one to worth looking out for. I don't know if it's on Netflix. We should have Netflix up at the side here.
Just to double check.
Just to treble check as well. I don't think it is. I remember kind of, I don't even know if I've got an account that I can remember to log into. We'll find it anyway. Anyway, so that's Kodachrome. So that's two. The next one is one that I've not seen before either. Have you ever heard of Rear Window?
I have not.
Let me just treble check if Kodachrome is actually on or currently on Netflix.
Yeah, it looks like it is.
Oh yeah, it's still there. Okay, so yeah, again, as of now, Kodachrome is still there. You can go and watch it. enjoy. And this next one is Rear Window. Yeah, I've not seen it. I know of it. I know the premise to it, etc. You know, it's an Alfred Hitchcock masterpiece. It's a 1954 film. And again, yeah, obviously it's got photography at the centre of it. And basically about a wheel-bound chair photographer who spies on his neighbours from his apartment and becomes convinced that one of them has committed a murder. You're quite into, like...
That sounds more on my street.
Yeah, thriller, crime, etc. as well.
I'm not into romance or father-son relationships. I don't want any of that. Give me the murder mysteries and I'm happy.
So we know what Rebecca loves in a film. But yeah, this is, you know, as I say, I've not seen it. I very much kind of, I'm very, very aware of it, you know, in photography circles, etc. But it's got Grace Kelly, Wendell Corey, Thelma Ritter, and obviously James Stewart plays the main character. So yeah, if you like a bit of Hitchcock, if you like a bit of photography, put the two together and kind of see what comes out. But yeah, it's kind of, as much as it's like an older film, it's 1954, don't let that kind of put you off, you know, if you like your Hollywood effects, etc. It's just got a very, very good core story to it.
Is it black and white or colour?
No, I think it is actually a colour film. I may be totally wrong. There you go.
Yeah, it looks colour.
Yeah, yeah. So sometimes they go back and like they remastered these films over time. I think so. Or are we just having actually a... Maybe just we're just seeing like a... Yeah, an advert to Hitchcock there. Yeah, I apologise again without actually kind of seeing it. But the fact that a lot of his films are colour, some are black and white, they vary. I'm not 100% sure. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. There's an answer there to be found.
That was a great answer.
I think it is. I have a feeling it is.
I'd say it is.
I don't know. We'll sign it. Anyway. Shall we go on to our next film? This one's really funny. I think you quite like this one. It's not crime or anything like that. It's just a little bit silliness. It's called Pecker. It's from 1998. It's Edward Furlong. Do you know Edward Furlong?
I don't.
No. You've watched Terminator before?
No.
John Connor. Never heard of that? Oh, my word.
It's Terminator. Like someone says, I'll be back.
No Terminator. I don't know what that was. No, well, in Terminator, John Connor is like the child that Terminator comes looking for, and that's played by Edward Furlong. But basically, yeah, he's got Christina Ricci in, and you know Christina Ricci.
I do, yes.
She was in The Addams Family. She was... Casper, Friendly Ghost.
Yeah.
You'd have
watched
that.
Yeah.
So basically, yeah, Peck is like this kind of teenage kid, and he gets a camera... and basically does go around his like little suburbia town, photographs everything and anything. You know, it's kind of literally like a kid in a sweet shop. He's like, so excited. He's got this camera, photographs everything, and it gets him into a lot of trouble, as you'd imagine, because he goes peeking through windows of the strip club and things like that, taking photos. He gets his family and friends to pose, and he's taking candid pictures of their life, which I suppose it has like a kind of some sort of conversation about modern day. You know, how much all your pictures in your life is lived out on social media. This was like someone taking pictures of your life not knowing and then plastering it around for everyone to see. So I think there is kind of some sort of social aspect to it that's quite relevant still today. But basically the idea is that kind of he takes all these pictures and they start getting a bit of notoriety. He does like a exhibition in a cafe and loads of these artsy-fartsy type people from New York come along and they're like, oh my darling, this is amazing. This is fantastic. You know, those kind of pictures that... You look at it and go, that's just a blurry mess. Yeah. And like it's half a foot or something like that.
Chopped off your head.
But they were like, oh, this is so artsy. This is like 90s New York where like, honestly, you just throw a shoe on a table. It's like, that's $20,000. I love it, darling. Give me another one. But yeah, it goes absolutely crazy and off the wall and becomes super famous. But then all that kind of fame backfires on him because everybody that ends up in the pictures, all his friends and his family and his neighbours, they start hating him for it because they're like, I don't want my life plastered around, you know, without
everyone.
People knowing, and I'm not getting any money for it. So he has this kind of huge downward spiral and kind of come down from it. And then he kind of steps back from the fame and the money of it all. And he basically just goes back to taking photographs just for the fun of it, like he did to begin with. But it was all, I suppose, everybody else's kind of fervor around him that kind of got him as famous as he did. So... Yeah, it's quite a fun film. It's quite silly. It's quite wacky. And it's something that if you're into like your nostalgia, if you like the 1998. How old were you then?
I was 4.
Oh, I've just aged. But anyway, I don't think that one is on Netflix. I don't think it's on Prime. It may be a trip down to the old Blockbuster.
Show your age.
I reckon I'm sure Blockbusters exist somewhere. Maybe not in the UK, but I reckon they still
maybe
are.
Maybe like in the North Pole, where they just missed one out.
Just have got to close it. So our last film, I'm thinking this is on Netflix. I'm sure it's maybe on Prime, because I've seen this not long ago. So it's called 1 Hour Photo. This is Robin Williams. You know Robin Williams, don't
you? I do know Robin Williams.
Not personally speaking.
Well, no, me and Albert Einstein didn't talk about Robin Williams too much.
You'll have to listen back to a previous podcast to understand what Rebecca's going on about with her love of Albert Einstein. But yeah, basically it's a very dark film for someone that's associated a lot with comedy. It's not Robin Williams kind of...
Not the genie.
No Mrs. Doubtfire. This is very much dark, dark Robin Williams. And I suppose, given how life went for him in the end as well, you start to look at these films and think, you know, did he take on these films and these roles because he was feeling that little bit dark and kind of off, etc. But yeah, it's like what they were branded as a psychological thriller. So he works in a supermarket and they have like a, you know, photo development kind of counter. So you know when you have like your old disposable cameras and you go in and say, oh, can you do my pictures, etc. Do you remember that?
I do.
You were old enough to remember that?
Oh,
I'm so glad you at least remember disposable films. But yeah, basically he go in there and there was this family that took pictures all the time, so they go in like weekly or whatever, and he got to know them really well.
I do feel like I know the storyline. He thinks he's like part of their family eventually.
Yeah,
I do know the storyline.
So he starts like, again, spoiler alert, should have said this at the very start for all these films. But he basically makes copies of their pictures that they submit. So they get their copies, but then he kind of hoards a copy, and then his house has just got pictures all over the wall loads of different people. You know, and he's basically kind of living his life, which is very mundane. He basically goes to work, comes home. But he gets more and more, like you said, involved, that he wants to become a part of them. And then I think there's a story that develops, like a subplot, that he thinks the husband is cheating on her. And he wants to kind of find out if this is true, because he doesn't like the idea of this perfect family being broken apart by the dad having the affair. And he basically goes off the rails, he goes totally mental. And he ends up getting to a hotel room where the husband and his mistress, because he is having an affair, are, and he ties them up and everything like that. And you're basically led to believe that he's killed them. But he kind of gets to the point where he can't actually go through with the act, etc. And everything's kind of all revealed as to kind of how he's been and whatnot. But yeah, it's very, very dark for someone that's kind of as popular as he was and known for his kind of comedy. It's not a funny film in any sense of purpose. But again, a little bit like Pecker, I think it's got that social aspect to it where people can kind of, you know, you worry a little bit when you put pictures of your life online, that who is actually watching it? Is anybody doing anything with those pictures, etc.?
Because it's all there for the world to see, isn't it, really?
That's it.
Which is quite scary.
It's never deletable in a sense. You can delete a picture, but has it really gone?
Yeah.
You know, there's always data and information kept somewhere, and you're thinking, well, yeah, how much of my life is actually kind of out there for other people to see and to buy and whatnot? So, yeah, if you're a person of kind of creature comforts and you don't want to kind of embrace the real world and these harsh realities, this is maybe not the film to watch necessarily. But if you like kind of being scared out of your wits and having a bit of horror film and basically kind of panicking at anybody that walks past your door, then definitely watch this film. But yeah, that's it. That's our five. Is there any others that you would kind of throw into the ring, or just any other films in general that you think anybody would like to watch at the minute? We might as well do a film review.
Just start from all films. No, I don't think so. I mean, other than the cinematography of kind of every other film there is at the moment, the way they're all shot and things like the newest Cats, there's a lot of effects on that one as well. It's very green screened, but it's very obviously green screened.
Oh, in a good way or a bad way?
Bits of both. And then again, there's the new James Bond.
Oh yes,
film on that is fantastic.
Seen that. That's great.
In the other way, so I do think that I can see the beauty of films and I can see the effort that it goes into, but I still just fall asleep.
Nothing can keep her awake, I'm afraid. I'm glad she stayed awake for this podcast at least. So thank you very, very much for staying awake. She's going to go and have her 30 winks now. And we'll be back next week with another podcast. Thank you very, very much for joining us. Staying awake. We'll bring you a coffee for the next episode. Yeah. Thank you very much, dogs, as well, for staying asleep and staying as calm as you did before. Oh, he's fast asleep now.
He was having a little dream during the last one.
He's probably freaking out now that I told him the plot to that 1 hour photo. He's not going to go and get his pictures processed at Asda, are you?
Robin Williams is not going to process George's photos.
No chance. Well, thank you very, very much for watching and listening to the podcast anyway. If you haven't subscribed, please do. We have fun like this every week and we do talk more seriously about
sometimes
photography topics, etc. as well. But yeah, thank you very, very much. It's been absolutely lovely kind of having you along for the chat. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do via email. We're on tutor@iphotographycourse.com. If you go to www.iphotography.com/podcast, you can find loads of information about our courses, our memberships, all the other bits and wonderful things that we do here at iPhotography. But for now, we will see you in the next show.
See you shortly.